time to watch our children do songs, and we're not done because there's going to be more. But we're going to do it at the end, and we got more coming with our little guys, so that's exciting. But I also just want to say a huge thank you to all of those that have helped with our children this year in Sunday school and working on these songs and putting them together. You know, it's like herding cats, you know, trying to get them all in one place at the same time, and they're all running around having a good time. But that's super exciting, and for me, that brings a lot of joy to the season. Well, if you haven't noticed, Christmas is now another week closer than it was last Sunday. The work parties are probably underway, or the work parties have already happened. The family plans are coming together. The schedule is filling up. The shopping is done or needs to be done. That depends on your family and how you want to handle it, men, which would mean it's not been done. But at least I haven't. So any other men in my boat? Yes, thank you for not leaving me hanging by myself. But, you know, and it wouldn't be Christmas if everyone wasn't getting sick. That would be my household and probably some of yours as well. But at the same time, we're looking forward to it. My son is on his way home, hopefully this week. He decided to visit our previous home of Lloydminster, so he's going to go to Lloydminster, but our oldest son's away at college, and he messaged us yesterday with a picture of his face and his eyebrow all split open and had an incident, but he's alive and well, and it wouldn't be Christmas if someone didn't get hurt, right? I don't know about your family, but that tends to be what happens in ours. And we're looking forward to having all of our family around and going up to the city, much like many of you. And as we're going to be continuing this morning, celebrating Advent, where we're talking about the church that comes together celebrating the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Christmas, people, is that time to remember the coming of our Lord. But it's also of an event where we have the opportunity to look forward to Jesus' second coming. And because of that, we can have great joy in our lives. And so we've lit three candles now. The first Sunday we talked about love. Or the first Sunday we talked about hope. Last Sunday we talked about love. And this morning we're going to be talking about joy. And we want to talk this morning about joy in your life and in mine. And so here is what I want us to do as we get started this morning. I want you to take a moment to reflect. And Christmas is a good time for reflection. I know we're very busy, so we're going to slow down for a moment in church here. And here's what I want you to reflect on. What brings you great joy? I'll give you a moment. Silence is okay. It's not awkward. What brings you great joy? Maybe I can ask it this way. When was the last time you felt great joy? Was it a person? Is that what's coming to your mind? Is it a family member? Children, spouse? Was it a situation that you found yourself in? Was it a trip? You know, when you think of joy, you're somewhere other than here, maybe. Was it an event? Is it a one-time thing, or is it whenever this thing happens, you find joy? What brings you great joy? So this past week, as I'm working on the message, I get the benefit of thinking about this long before some of you. And so I was thinking about it this week, and I was trying to think of something, and there was kind of something particular that just kind of came to mind, and my family's all sick. They're not here today. But as I tell this story, they would laugh because they don't see this as a great sense of joy for me. In fact, if you were to ask my family, they would probably consider this to be the exact opposite. And so the first thing that kind of flooded into my mind and my heart for great joy is when we went camping with our trailer as a family. And some of you would be like, well, that sounds like great joy, but if you knew my family, usually me and camping in a trailer was a lot of frustration. It didn't always turn out the way that I'd hoped. We've had a trailer for a long time when the boys were small, and we sold it a couple years ago, but I miss my trailer in some ways because what it resembled for me was joy, and not the joy in the trailer, but the joy in what went on when we would take out our trailer. And the reason my family, I says, it would laugh at me because they never really perceived that Dad was having any fun on holidays. Now, I can't imagine I'm the only father who is like that. Some of you maybe grew up in a home where you're like, we went on holidays with Dad and he never had any fun. Right? Because Dad took off work, so he's losing money, and now he's out spending even more money, and there's something about dads and money that don't bring much joy. And so there were times where our holidays, I hate to admit it, weren't always very good. I would get frustrated. Things didn't always turn out so well. We bought this trailer thinking, you know, that this would be the great joy. And I remember the very first time we took it out, we traveled from Lloydminster to Edmonton. We get out at Edmonton, check the trailer. All my drawers had fallen out and broke. The table had tipped over, whacked the cabinet. Brand new trailer. That was the first trip. We had another situation once with the trailer where we'd gone to, we were in Clearwater, BC, kind of, we like to go out to BC, and my wife had bought a watermelon, which isn't out of the ordinary when you're camping. She'd put it in the trailer, and we go to, you know, park the trailer, and I'm putting the slide out. All of a sudden, the slide goes out, and bang, the front of my cabinet breaks off. Lo and behold, the watermelon had rolled in behind and broke my cabinet. Yes, joy. You know? And you can understand, you might understand why my children think, why is he bringing this up as joy? And so I broke the front of my cabinet. One time when we were in Hinton, the slide went out, and then it broke, and I couldn't get it back in, so I had to phone an RV guy to come and help us. Pulled the motors, we pushed it in, I strapped it, drove back to Lloyd. We had another issue once. Two times we took the trailer out. The third time we went out, my tires were balding on the edge really bad, so I took it in and got it looked and found out from the factory they'd hung the hangers crooked. And everything was off a line, wrecked the tires, wrecked the hangers. I went after them. They said, not our problem, big surprise. So I spent more money on the trailer of dealing with that. My lino split one winter, came out, opened the trailer, all the lino had split, you know, so got to put new lino in. And then one of the last few times we used it, we were going into Edmonton and blew out a tire right on Calgary Trail in the middle of traffic. And this is why it's somewhat humorous, is my family would be like, why are you bringing up the trailer? Because all they ever saw was frustration and Dad's issues, but here is what I found great joy. It was never really about the trailer. It was the places that we went together. We've been down to Idaho a couple times. We went to Montana once. Salmon Arm, Clearwater, Kamloops, Radium. We like BC. I like the warm weather. That's joy for me, right? What brings you great joy? Because I think inside all of us, there is this great need for joy and happiness, right? I think that to be human is the desire for joy and happiness. And we're in the season where this is supposed to be the most joy and happiness, right? It's all over the news, it's all over the media, the movies that we watch, including the ones we've already watched five times, and it's not even Christmas yet. You know which ones you're talking about because you have your favorites. But I think each of us, as Christmas approaches, it holds maybe some different significance for some of us. Maybe for some of you, pointing out joy has not been so easy. As I ask the question, your greatest point of joy, there could be some of you who just struggle to find out what that is. You're like, I don't really know. I'm not really sure maybe what that feels like. As a Christian, we celebrate the coming of Jesus, which brings great joy, but here's the other side of Christmas for many people. It can be the hardest time of year for people. Christmas brings up a lot of memories. Christmas can kind of point out the fact that maybe things are not always so good within our families. Christmas can sometimes bring up the fact that relationships are somewhat strained, and because of those things, you're like, how am I going to find joy in the season because I'm already stressed out about we're trying to get together with these people and my children are this and my grandkids, they're all, you know, family dynamics, if you will. Maybe for some of you, Christmas is the reminder of someone you've lost. Right? Maybe it's the reminder of who's not here. Maybe it is a family member. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's a child, whatever the situation is. But Christmas for people can bring up a lot of, unfortunately, negative memories. And I think because of that, what happens to a lot of people is this, is that true joy becomes somewhat elusive. It becomes something that we can't seem to get our hand on or around. We all know we want it, we all know we need it, but we somehow can't grasp it. You and I have a massive need in all of us for joy. I don't care whether you believe in this, the cross, the church, whatever, that's not the question. To be human is to desire joy and happiness within our heart. But here is, I think, what happens to many of us. Because we all have that desire innately in us, I think at times we become very vulnerable to that. And you say, well, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Here is what I mean. You and I desire joy so strongly that we will often settle for something just to deal with the joy. We will often settle for something that is fake joy. We will often settle for something that, if we're honest, is temporary joy. A joy that is incomplete. A joy that won't hold any air, as we've talked about through this whole series. And because of that, we have these ways of trying to get joy back into our life. We're searching for it, we're trying to hold on to it, we're grabbing it, anything that will fulfill this joy hole that's in all of us. And so my question is, what brings you great joy? And I hope you're able to settle something in your mind. The second part of that question is who or what have you put into that hole to fill that great joy? Is it a person? Is it a place? Is it a thing? And I think we all do it because that's what it means to be human at times, is we have this joy that we need. And then we fill it in with things. I mean, if we honestly look at what we talked about last Sunday, sometimes when we look at love, we're looking at love to bring us joy, right? That relationship, that person, that dating, that spouse, that child, like my love for them should bring me joy. That is true. But what happens when that doesn't work anymore? What happens when your spouse doesn't bring joy anymore? Welcome to marriage, right? What happens when your children don't bring you joy anymore? Welcome to be a parent of small children and probably big children, right? And my point is, when those things don't work, we're going to find something else to jab into the hole of joy. Sometimes we might even look to hope to bring us joy, right? The hope of Christmas. Maybe this will bring me joy. I love the lights. I love the presents. I love the people. That will be my joy. And then as we talked about hope, you're hoping this whole season turns out okay for you and your family. You hope you're going to have a joyous time. And then the family dynamics kicks in, the relational problems kick in, and hope dies, love disappears, and now we have no joy. I think the problem for joy for many of us is this, is that we are looking to someone or something to bring us joy, but ultimately this is what happens. It implodes on us. Implode, not explode, right? I'm talking about this for a reason. Something blows up inside of us. And it can be very powerful, and we might not even know it until it blows up. So I have stuffed my relationships, whatever it is, in the pocket of joy, and when those things don't work, people say, I have no joy and I have no happiness. So let me ask you again, what brings you joy? Is it someone? Is it something? Right away, I started thinking about my trailer, and the reality is that imploded on me. I spent thousands of extra dollars on a brand new trailer. Thousands of dollars. I might as well have just bought two trailers almost by the time I was finished. It was ridiculous. That thing imploded on me. It collapsed in on me. And which is why in these moments my family would be laughing at me, because they see that as, oh, Dad's great joy blew up in his face. The joy on the inside imploded. Because here is what happened often. I can recall many times on holidays having some of the biggest fights with my wife because I was frustrated with this trailer. There was times where there was no joy in the trailer. We went home early once because we'd had enough. Right? We don't all like to admit it, but we've done those things. We've had enough. We got to a point where we're like, do we still want to go on holidays together? Because it always seems to implode. And then dads are dads and we explode, unfortunately. Moms explode too, not just dads. We're going to throw that out there, you know. No. The thing I put my joy in, it often feels like this black hole of life. And so recently my family and I decided to get Disney Plus. If you're not sure what Disney Plus is, it's kind of like Netflix, except it's all Disney movies and Marvel movies. And I was thumbing through it recently, looking around. They got all these old great Disney movies. And I came across the old movie, The Black Hole. Do you have the picture there for me? How many of you remember this movie? Like, good, one or two of you, because you do know that Disney was the death of Sunday night church, right? That's what my dad told me, you know? Because it became the point where he's like, we're just going to stay home and watch Disney. And we stopped going to Sunday night church, and then the church quit Sunday night church not long after that. But if you remember, Disney started running on Sunday nights at like 6 and 7 o'clock. And we would make it family time instead of going to church again, because we already went in the morning and I was a young kid. And you're like, isn't that enough? Mom and Dad said no, but eventually Disney took over. As I was thumbing through, I saw this great old movie, like I said, The Black Hole. And it started thinking about it, and I was looking it up this week, and I thought, what is the definition of a black hole? And so I looked at NASA. This is what they said. They said, a black hole is a place in space where gravity pulls so much in that not even light can get out. The gravity is so strong because matter has been squeezed into a tiny space. This can happen when a star is dying. And so a black hole, people, is kind of like a whirlpool. It spins inward. It pulls from the outside and pushes down into the inside. And as I was looking at this, I started thinking about joy. And this is kind of how I think what happens to joy. It starts all out here, and we're excited, and then it falls into often this black hole of my trailer or whatever your situation is, and it spins down. To the point where what we find at Christmas is a lot of people, it's very dark, it's very bleak, and even like the black hole definition says, no light can get out. And for a lot of people, that's what Christmas has become. There's no joy in people. There's no joy in circumstances. It's spun in on me because I put something in my life here thinking it would bring joy. I put my spouse in there, it didn't work out, and now I'm spiraling down. I put my family, my children, my job, and it's all imploding and spiraling down to darkness. I think a lot of us, when it comes to joy, we have fallen into this black hole of frustration in some ways. And I think what happens to a lot of people is this. If I could just get the right thing, if I could just get the right person, if I could get the right situation, then it would hold up and it would not spin around into this black hole. Because that's what society is telling us in TV and movies. You need to just try harder for joy. You're not working hard enough, people. Try harder, do better, smile more, be more generous. Like Michaela was this week. She was highly generous. Not by choice. She wanted to pay for someone in line at McTim Hortons, and she told the person at the front, like, I'd like to pay for the third car down. They're a friend of mine. She gets the bill, and she paid for all three cars down the line. Thank you, Michaela, for being so generous. right? Started with joy and became a bit of a black hole as I spent way more than I wanted to. The Lord takes care of us. But for some of us, there maybe is no light at Christmas. Maybe the joy has spiraled so far down through life or through anxiety or depression, which are very real. That stuff is really heavy at this time of year for people. And you can feel like you've spiraled down to where there's no light. Maybe it feels like there is darkness. And maybe that's affecting the decisions we make. Maybe that's why we buy the things that we buy or purchase things for family members that we've purchased, hoping that the joy will be restored in one way or the other. People, here is what I know about joy, and it's not much. It's not nearly as simple as Facebook and Instagram makes it seem. It's not that simple. You'll see it all week. Smiley families, smiley faces, new things. Right? I love Facebook because I see these family photos and I have many, many followers over my life of the church, and I don't care about that. But what I find so shocking is I'm looking at these photos and husbands and wives and families and everybody's joy, and they're typing, I love them, and it's great. But some of these families I also know are on the brink of divorce because I talked to them a month ago. I know financially things are dying, they're falling apart. So my point, people, is joy is not that simple. The pursuit of joy and happiness, people, can still lead to disappointment and can lead to frustration. So I think what we do is we often just keep switching strategies. I'm going to try a new way to bring joy and happiness to my life. For me, I'll sell my trailer. Maybe that will bring me joy. Maybe I should go buy something different. Maybe that will bring more joy to the family. Maybe we should take a different holiday as a family, go to a new location. So the one thing that brings you joy, have you found yourself changing strategies over the years? Well, now maybe we'll do this, that'll bring joy. Maybe we'll do this, that'll bring joy, but ultimately it's the same. Maybe I'll try harder with my children. Maybe I'll buy them different things. Maybe I'll try harder in my marriage to be happy. Maybe I'll just find someone who will make me happy. Maybe I'll talk to someone online who will make me happy or give me joy on Facebook or wherever, because I see on their Facebook they seem to have joy. So if I talk to them, maybe I will have joy. When we have no real hope, no real love, or no real joy, it's like that endless black hole that keeps spinning down farther and farther. But let me say this. If you are a Christian today, that is not how you are to be. That is not the life that Jesus died on the cross for. He didn't come in the form of a baby and die on the cross for our sin so that we could live with no hope, no love, and no joy. I want to show you something. It'll be up on the screen. John chapter 15. We're going to read verses 5 through 11. We'll just kind of go through it quick, and we're going to talk a few minutes here. It says this. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that you may have joy, and that you may have joy to the fullest. What we're talking about here is this idea of the vine and the branches. I'm not going to go long into it today. But what the Bible talks about is that if you're a Christian today, You are connected to God. God is in you. He is in me. And therefore, the Bible says that we should bear much fruit from that. We don't bear our own fruit. We bear fruit because of the life that he has put into us. And when we are connected to him, it says that he is alive in us, that he is the source of everything. People, the key to Christian joy is the source, who is Jesus Christ. It is Jesus that is in me, and I that am in him, right? Which the Bible talks about. That's a relationship that is to lead to pure joy. You see, in the New Testament, we hear about the Holy Spirit, right? We talk about the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, kind of three in one, if you will. And what we know from the Bible is that the Holy Spirit, if you're a Christian, is alive on you, working on your behalf. And in the Bible, we hear about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but we also hear about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit is when Jesus comes into your life, the Holy Spirit will give you certain gifts that the Bible talks about. We don't need to go down that road. We can talk another time. But the other part of that is, as the Holy Spirit is alive in you, there is certain fruit that come out of your life. And one of the fruit is joy. The fruit of joy is what comes out of Christians. People, the more we grow in grace, the more we grow in mercy, the more gentle we are, the more loving and patient we are, the more joy we will have in our lives. A characteristic of the Christian life is joy. So again, how is your joy today? Do you have joy? Because according to the Bible, if you're a Christian, you should be the most joyous person in this room. Because we have much to be joyful about, especially at Christmas. Our joy is the birth of our Savior, who is our everlasting joy at this time of season. And what we read in John 15 shows us that the joy that Jesus wants to see in us is his joy. And you say, well, what does that mean? Because here is the thing I want you to grasp. I could say that we should be the most joyous people as Christians. And what happens to church people is, once again, we work harder and do better to have more joy. That's not the point. What you need to understand is the joy is already in you as God is already in you. It is not about building more joy. It's not about working harder. It's not about trying better. It's about God the Holy Spirit alive in you. He produces the joy in you that then pushes outward. Jesus wants his joy to remain in us. People, the joy does not originate with us. And that makes me joyful because I can't work up enough joy on my own some days. The joy originates in him, which means I am not asking you today to manufacture your own joy. Jesus, by the power of his Holy Spirit, has put joy in you. And because of that supernatural miracle, joy is in you. The Bible says that the joy should be full, that the joy should be complete. I don't know about you, but I don't want partial joy. I don't want the glass half full type of joy. I want the fullness of joy. I want the joy that the Father has stored up for his people who abide in him. Children of God, there is a fullness of a joy that awaits when you are connected to the Father, the vine and the branch. And this morning as we talk about this, I realize some of you might be looking at me and saying, I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't know where some of you are on the journey. You might say, I don't understand what that kind of joy is. I'm not connected to God. I don't know who the Father is. I'm not sure who this Jesus guy is, except something we celebrate at this time of year. What I want you to maybe see in your mind is, have you tried to chase joy, and how is that working for you? What have you put into your heart? What have you put into your life that you now, as you're thinking about it, like, my joy is a black hole and it's dark down there. And there's not a lot of light down there. I want you to know that Jesus gives true and everlasting joy. He is the source of joy. And if you come to meet him today, if you come to know who Jesus is today, I can guarantee you that there will be a joy down deep inside of you that you cannot explain. That there will be a joy so powerful within you, you won't know what to say or do. I can promise you that that joy is inevitable in a life in Jesus Christ. You see, the good news of what Jesus has done for you and me on the cross is that he died in our place for our sin. The gospel, people, is good news, but it should really be called joy news. Although a difficult event, although a dark event, the cross, it was meant for joy. It was to produce joy in you. It is to produce joy in me. And so as you go to more activities this week, kids are in their last week of school. Joy, I think, especially when they're all done next Friday and they're all sugared up. This is why we need the joy of the Lord, people. But I want you to think about that this week. To even remember John chapter 15, verse 11. These things I have spoken to you, this is Jesus, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have put joy in your people. Lord, I can't build my own joy. I have tried. I have bought things thinking it will bring me joy. I have done things in my life thinking I could figure this out. But Jesus, you've reminded me this week, as you need to remind me all the time because I am forgetful, that my joy is found in you because you are already in me. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would rise that up in the hearts of your people today. That as we go through this week, that people would experience the fruit of joy from my life. That my wife, that my children, my family would experience the fruit of joy from my heart that you have given to me. I pray that the people I come in contact with, the stores that I shop at, the places that I go, the places that I would eat, that your joy would emanate from me, that it was your joy to people in our community who need to see a joyous face, who need some encouragement today. And so, Lord, I pray a blessing upon this congregation, that as I've spoken these words, that your joy would be in them. And that your joy may be full. And I pray that that light would emanate from their lives. And so, Jesus, I thank you for this church family and for these people. I thank you for our children and the great stories they share as we celebrate Jesus' birth. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to invite up Annette.